Welcome to episode 2 of my podcast on the natural state of nature. Our last podcast, we touched on the nature of space and time, and I believe we live in a truly infinite and eternal multiverse. Not an inflationary multiverse, as currently described, and not an M-world multiverse where different decisions spawn entire universes, but a physical multiverse where we have physical reality, that physical reality being an infinite number of separate nested pockets of relative pressurized space-time mass energy radiation. Each pocket is created by children sharing the same relative trajectory and relative velocity of the most massive body or bodies. There doesn't need to be a single body. There can be a barycenter between multiple bodies, or there can be multiple bodies at the center and items, planets and moons orbiting more than one body. But in each separate nested frame of succession, there will be either bodies or groups of bodies sharing that same relative trajectory and relative velocity in a never-ending succession. It may be due to gravity, or it may be due to electromagnetism. There are times where bodies are attracted or repulsed through electromagnetic forces, and then we have gravity working on larger scales, pretty much. I think at the smaller scales, gravity is too weak to work or to be visible at the relativistic speeds we see within subatomic physics. So, if we accept the premise of an infinite and eternal universe, the only logical structure for that to look like is, again, an infinite number of these separate nested pockets. So, what would one of the predictions be? Okay? Well, it makes it a very interesting prediction, because what we know about orbital mechanics, and I like to think of it like this. Every single orbit, no matter what is orbiting what, always has a finite amount of relative mass within the boundary of the outer edge of that orbit, and an infinite amount of mass, although not all relative, an infinite amount, a finite amount of relative mass outside, but an infinite amount of total mass outside of every orbit. And one of the ways we kind of see that happening is there is both a inward pull of objects by the body they orbit, and there is also a bit of an outward pull. Everything on the outside of an orbit is slowly tugging on things to cause them to want to pull out. We also find over time that the main bodies are losing mass for a variety of reasons. Stars exhaust mass. It would appear black holes exhaust some mass. But regardless, the amount of energy within an orbit slowly dissipates over time. Because of that, the localized binding of mass energy to space-time will slowly dissipate over time. We see this right now. We see our moon slowly moving away from our Earth. We see our Earth and all the planets slowly moving away from the sun. We see the sun and many, many other stars slowly moving away from Sagittarius A star. And with a couple billion years of cosmology, a couple hundred billion years of cosmology under our belt, we'd see that the Sagittarius A star is slowly moving away from the Great Attractor and is in orbit. We don't have the luxury of 100 billion years of cosmology to base our understanding from. So all we got is what we can see and what we can extrapolate from what we see. And that tells me, based on what I see, there is this force we've called dark energy, which we haven't been able to find, but we think it makes up over 70% of the energy within our physical universe. Whereas it very well could be that the energy isn't necessarily the vacuum energy or the energy within space-time itself that is causing an expansion, but the fact that our parent frame of reference is made by our visible universe and our siblings. It is almost certain we have more than one sibling. We have at least one sibling, potentially, if not more, sharing a specific frame of reference, playing follow the leader. Our visible universe, either in orbit, being orbited, or both, likely has an axis of rotation, a period of rotation, potentially a period of revolution. Those are numbers we may never know, because you need to be able to gaze past the outer edge of the cohesive boundary that makes up our visible universe and be able to see multiple siblings and correlate that data together before you could even figure out our potential rate of rotation and whether or not, you know, what our orbital period looks like. And so it's highly unlikely we're ever going to gain that knowledge. The fact that we can't prove it doesn't necessarily mean it's not true, because we may be able to prove it indirectly once we put all of these components of my theory of everything together. You begin to see how many different things all fit together so cleanly that things all kind of make sense. But the dark energy would be predicted if we have an infinite number of nested pockets of relative pressurized space-time mass energy heat radiation, because as orbits slowly decay or slowly lose energy, eventually they'll all lose some of the binding to the binding to space-time. And so in the areas within our visible universe where we have the weakest overlapping gravity wells, that is where we see the most expansion. And in the areas within our visible universe with the strongest overlapping gravity wells, we see dark energy barely able to do anything. And so there is a constant battle between all of the forces outside our visible universe and the forces inside our visible universe. What we get from our parent frame of reference is our perception of space and time. That parent frame of reference acquires its perception from its parent frame of reference, and in turn from its parent frame of reference. If each of these successive parent frames of reference are slowly losing mass energy cohesion to their localized space-time, what would that look like to us? It would look like the very fabric of our space-time is being torn apart. It's exactly what we see. We see what would be predicted if there was a nested succession of larger frames of reference. Not only that, because there is a succession of parent frames of reference, each of them slowly dissipating, as you go down and down the chain to reach our level, the rate of dissipation will increase over time, because our parent frame of reference is losing its mass energy cohesion, and its parent frame of reference is losing its mass energy cohesion, and that would create a rate of increase that will be exponential. We will find over time, as we continue to study cosmology in our visible universe, that we have a variable rate causing different segments of our visible universe to move away from us at potentially different rates, and that rate will be predicted to increase over time, and it will be an exponential increase. If over time we can prove an exponential increase that is variable, it almost guarantees to validate a theory that predicts an infinite number of separate nested pockets of space-time. So, hope that answer for dark energy makes sense and what we predict. Hope you have a good day. Live long and prosper. May the force be with you. 42.